It's Financial Planning with J. Daniel Plouffe, Episode 13, brought to you by WRBO Public Media. Here's Daniel.
Joining me today in studio is Chris Fossum, a vice president with First Trust, and we're going to talk a little bit today about index investing, which continues to grow in popularity. Chris, welcome to the program. I know that you are a vice president and covering, I guess, just about most of central, western, and upstate New York for First Trust. Tell us a little bit about your firm first, please.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for having me here with you today. First Trust, a privately held firm based in the west suburbs of Chicago, managed just over $100 billion in assets and really is the market leader in the fastest growing ETF firm in the industry. Excited to be here to talk a little bit more about ETFs.
ETF, exchange traded funds. So you have a little bit of, background for us on index investing, which we want to talk about today. You know, simple definition first, Chris, when we talk about indexing, is it safe to say that's just basically buying the market? What's indexing to you?
Yeah, well, when you talk about indexing in the formal context, yes, that would be owning a basket of stocks. Most notably, the S&P 500 would be an index, and owning all 500 of those stocks that are in the S&P 500.
Now, we're going to get to some variations on this whole theme in a minute, but you know, who would use index as a strategy? Why do you sense that it's growing so much in popularity?
Well, the index approach really came out of the idea that if you can't beat the market, might as well just be the market. And exchange-traded funds and ETFs have allowed investors to gain access to that philosophy.
But there's still confusion, I think, this notion of indexing versus just buying a traditional mutual fund. Can you compare and contrast the two ideas for us?
Well, when you look at ETFs or exchange-traded funds, there's really four things that differentiate them from a traditional mutual fund or an open-ended fund structure. And that's what I want to stress, is that an ETF is a structure. The idea of owning the S&P 500 as an index is the investment philosophy in it. But the reason exchange-traded funds and ETFs have been so prevalent and pervasive in the industry is because they offer a more transparent investment, which after 08 is a benefit for you as the advisor with the client. They offer more flexibility in their intraday liquidity, meaning you can buy and sell them throughout the day.
As opposed to mutual funds, which you can only buy or sell at the close of the day, correct?
Correct.
Closing price.
Correct. So with an ETF, if you make a sell at 9:35 in the morning, that's executed at 9:35 in the morning.
Well, hold on. Let's talk, though, too, about some maybe pros and cons on this whole idea. I mean, one thing I hear time and again is the idea of indexing provides a vast amount of instant diversification. Would you agree with that?
Well, by the premise of owning every stock in the index, yes, you do reduce your single stock risk. However, most indexed-based tools are market cap weighted. So although you may own all 500 stocks in the S&P, in reality, the top three names, if we talk about Apple, Exxon, and Microsoft, they really account for the weight of the bottom 160.
Let me stop you right there, because that's important. So you're saying when we make a purchase in the S&P 500 index, yes, I'm owning a portion of all 500 companies, but most of my money is going into the first few names.
Correct.
Just because they're so big.
Correct. And that's the idea of indexing, is that the only investment merit given to the holdings is that the market cap or the size of that company. And so that's where you start at the biggest and move on down the line.
So a dollar invested in the S&P 500 index, when you got down to, say, stock number 300 or 350 and beyond, it's almost insignificant what I own.
Correct. That would be very accurate.
What about the fact that, at least from what I'm seeing, the costs involved with indexing tend to be lower?
Sure.
Why so?
Well, that really gets to, you know, as I mentioned, the four points as to why ETFs and exchange-traded funds are different than mutual funds is cost. The average open-ended fund, roughly 140 basis points, or that's 1.5% almost in expense. Your average ETF is 35 to 40 basis points in cost. And why is that? Because the structure helps to streamline and make more efficient the different things that add to those costs.
And you're going to smile, but of course we talk basis points, 30 basis points, 40 basis points, 0.3% on average, 0.4% on average. Got to be some downside though, Chris. What am I giving up? What am I losing? What are some of the cons, if you will, with indexing?
Well, when you take the broad-based approach of just owning every stock in the index, I think intuitively, all understand that not all 500 stocks are the ones that you should own or want to own. And so when you basically wave the white flag and say, I can't beat the bench, so I'm just going to be it. That, I would say, that misnomer is pervasive, but yet is very, very prevalent in the world today.
But at First Trust, you guys are sort of doing some different things in that you're not just promoting, if that's the right word, buying the S&P 500. There are other parts of the market or other ways of looking at indexing. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, and that would be where, as I said, First Trust is a market leader in the ETF space with what is called our AlphaDex ETFs. And I'll simply say that of the world that exists in exchange-traded funds, you kind of have the market cap-weighted tools, which are what we have just talked about, by owning all the stocks in the market based on market cap. And then you have what I would call the alpha ETFs, and that's where First Trust is a market leader that says, let's own the stocks that have the factors that really drive return over time, and let's give them the most weight. So when we take the S&P 500, let's whittle it down to the 375 names that are really worth owning.
So there's some stock selection going into this. It's not just throwing your money into the market per se. You guys are looking at what names do we want to own within this index.
Correct.
And that gets a little closer, though, to a traditional mutual fund idea, I would think.
Well, it is an active index, and in reality, it's built on a mathematic premise that has been around for the last 70 years. In fact, Eugene Fama, Kenneth French, of which won a Nobel Prize last year for their research in economics.
I'm up for that this year, by the way.
But that with it is really where the math behind AlphaDex come from. It's a disciplined, repeated, unemotional process that says, let's own the stocks that have intrinsic value, and over time, we'll own them rather than the biggest, and that's where the success with AlphaDex has come from.
And again, just quickly kind of wrapping up here, so maybe using some of this alpha indexing, as you refer to it, along with some traditional indexing, might that round out a portfolio pretty nicely where you can zero in on some maybe sectors or individual names you think are poised to outperform, and then maybe, you know, back up and still own various larger parts of the market? Do you like that idea?
Well, that's oftentimes how our ETFs are used in complement with other investment vehicles, whether it be the broad-based index tool that owns the whole market or an open-ended fund. So for the cost, the liquidity, the transparency, but the final piece is tax efficiency, their ability to eliminate embedded capital gains. ETFs are a great complement to what may be already being done in the portfolio.
I'm glad you brought that up, because for the second year running now, we are looking at capital gains for portfolios. And with indexing, you do get some advantages there, some way of managing the tax consequences a little better.
Correct. If we're talking about equity investments, particularly with an ETF, you should be able to eliminate altogether the embedded capital gain distributions that occur. So that's where they can be a nice complement to what you may do with a really deep value or aggressive growth manager in a mutual fund. You can anchor that with an AlphaDex or an index-based ETF.
Chris, I'm a worrier, so let me just end with this. It just seems sometimes, at least on Wall Street, and I'm sure you know where I'm going, when something becomes so popular on Wall Street, i.e. investment ideas or strategies, that they seem to no longer work out very well. And I'm seeing everybody talking about indexing, more and more money going into index options, index investments. Mm-hmm. Could this just collapse under its own weight at some point?
Well, I think that's where I come back to the ETF or the exchange-traded fund is a structure. Just like the vehicle we drive today is more efficient than the car we drove 20, 30 years ago, an ETF has some greater efficiencies than an open-ended fund structure. But at one time, mutual funds were that innovation that came to the industry.
Good point.
And in no way did that lead to undue risk for the clients holding a mutual fund. Now, that's where transparency is key, to know what you're actually invested in with the ETF. And I go on record that the chairman of the S&P himself would say the S&P 500 is not geared to be an investment vehicle, yet just owning all 500 companies based on market cap, I would argue, leaves opportunity for you to take advantage of it with another more active process.
I could talk to you for a lot longer, but you know, I'm under a time limit here. Chris Fossum, thank you very much. Vice President with First Trust. I would just tell our listeners that if they want more information on this, they can go to F, as in Frank, fportfolios.com and get a lot more information on that. But Chris, thanks for joining us. From the Syracuse office of Morgan Stanley, I'm Daniel Plouffe. Thanks for listening.
To learn more about financial planning with J. Daniel Plouffe, visit wrvo.org.